Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Beaumont Cement PLC conference call for the first quarter of 2022 presentation to investors and analysts. All attendees will be in listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity to ask questions when prompted. If you should need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero. Please note that this event is being recorded. I'd now turn the conference over to the MD, Mr. Yusuf Bengi. Please go ahead, sir.
Good day, everyone, and thank you once again for being part of this call. It has been about 4 weeks since we converged to discuss Beaumont Cement's full year 2021 results. We are pleased you could join us once again. My name is Yusuf Bengi, the MD CEO. Presenting with me are Jack Bukowski, the Chief Finance Officer, and Mr. Finn Atkinson, the Group Chief Operating Officer. As always, I will provide a bit of information on who we are for the benefit of those who are still unfamiliar with the company and joining us for the first time. In view of this, Beaumont Cement is the second-largest cement manufacturer in Nigeria, and indeed, Northwest, South, and Southeast regions of Nigeria. We operate using four model lines with a total annual capacity of 11 million metric tons per annum. Having recently commissioned the 3 million metric tons per annum line for Sokoto. Beaumont Cement is a sustainably-led institution guided by the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. In the first quarter of 2022, we attained revenues of 97 billion naira, coming from 61.2 billion from the corresponding period ended 2021, and continue to maintain an investment-grade credit rating from both Agusto and Data Pro. In 2021, Beaumont Cement was awarded the largest corporate bond listing and single largest corporate debt issue following the maiden bond issue of 115 billion naira. Now, if you will kindly turn to slide 7, we show the milestones attained over the years with the commissioning of the 3 million metric ton per annum line for Sokoto being the latest achievement. Slide 8 shows our geographical footprint. If you turn to slide 10, we present the highlights for the first quarter of 2022. Our sustained performance was supported by the increase in output capacity and a business model and product offering that offers value to customers. Against this backdrop, EBITDA increased by 55.9% to 46.3 billion naira from 29.7 billion naira as at Q1 2021. In the same vein, EBITDA margin declined from 47.7% from 48.5%. Profit after tax increased by 48.2% to 33.1 billion naira from 22.4 billion naira, while earnings per share rose by 48.5% to 98 kobo from 66 kobo as at the end of the first quarter of last year. We continue to make satisfactory progress on the expansion activities at Ovo and Sokoto, and as earlier highlighted, we remain committed to minimizing the impact of our activities on the environment, capacity building through empowerment programs, and making societal impact through tangible investments made into the communities. If you will kindly turn to slide 11, we provide some color to our performance. The revenue per ton increased by 25.6% to 55,904 naira from 44,520 naira in Q1 2021 due to pricing activities. Our EBITDA was up 55.9% to 46.3 billion naira from 29.7 billion naira, giving the 58.5% rise in net revenue. Along the same line, EBITDA margin was at 47.7%. Slide 12 looks at EBITDA drivers. The revenue increased by 35.8 billion naira to 97 billion from 61.2 billion due to pricing activities and increased volume dispatched, which includes volumes from the added capacity at Sokoto. Cost of sales rose by 16.7 billion to 48.8 billion naira from 32.1 billion, majorly from increases in energy costs, raw material cost, and operation and maintenance expenses. The net selling, distribution, and administration cost rose by 2.5 billion naira to 1.9 billion as at Q1 2022. This was driven by increases with distribution costs, commissioning of landfill expenses, donations, and public relations expenses and truck and repair maintenance. Slide 13 provides a breakdown of our cost profile on a per ton basis. Cost of sales per ton rose by 20.6% to 28,124 naira from the 23,324 naira as at first quarter of last year. This was mainly driven by energy costs, raw material cost, and operation, maintenance, and technical fees. The energy cost per ton rose by 35.1% to 12,593 naira from 9,321 naira in Q1, given higher market prices and the devaluation of the naira. Selling, distribution, and administration cost per ton increased by 32.2% to 3,352 naira from 2,535 naira at March 2021. The major drivers include distribution costs due to volume and diesel cost increases, security expenses, commissioning expenses related to line 4, donations and public relations expenses, and repair and maintenance charges. On slide 15, we showcase the strategic pursuits for the year 2022. These include the expansion that is ongoing at Obu and Soto, the installation of gas-powered plants also at Obu and Soto of capacity 70 megawatt each, the increase in our customer portfolio, and capture new market areas and other improvement in our customer experience. Sustainable practices are the hallmark of our activities, and slide 16 is a takeaway of some of the activities we have engaged. Some of these activities are reoccurring, while some giving way to more impact activities based on the prevailing situation at that point in time. As always, we continuously seek out meaningful ways to making long-lasting and far-reaching impacts through their interactions with us. At this point, I thank you for listening, and I will now hand over the call so we can take your questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you'd like to ask a question, you're welcome to press star and then one on your touchtone phone or the keypad on your screen. For those who have joined via the webcast, you're welcome to pose your questions in the question box provided on your screen. If you decide to withdraw your question, you're welcome to press star then two to exit the question queue. And just a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, you're welcome to press star and then one. I would like to, at this stage, like to hand over for questions on the webcast.
Hello, thank you, Judy. The first question is from Olufemi Ogunbono from Meristem Securities. Her question goes, can more light be shed on the pricing activities and the sales volume that drove the firm's top-line performance?
Okay, yes, thank you very much. Like we have mentioned during the presentation, the increase in our revenues and performance was mainly attributed to the increase in volumes. As we know, as we announced last year, that we were going to commission our fourth line in Sokoto of capacity 3 million metric tons per annum. And through to our ward, the commissioning, port commissioning started in late last year, and the plant was fully commissioned during the first quarter of 2022. So we have had a very big impact on the additional volumes that were brought on stream. And I need to say, really, the commissioning went on smoothly, and we're able to ramp up capacity very well. And this can be seen immediately on the volumes that we're able to actually send out into the market. And I think that also partly answers the questions of volume growth from Mr. Dawoodu of Standard Bank Group, even though we lost him, but he was also asking of the financing costs also. So I believe our CFO, Jack, can also shed more light on these two questions. Jack, if you are there.
Yeah, thank you, Yusuf. On the financing cost, if I understood well the full question, because the line broke, but you were asking about these capitalization accounting standard on the interest of the loan. So yes, we are applying the IFRS standard. So as long as the line is in work in progress, we are capitalizing all the bank loan interest. And the commissioning took place in March, at the end of March, so that in terms of financing, such loans, interest will be now expensed starting from April. Now, probably the rest of the question was about the huge decrease in financing cost. Actually, from a quarter to last year to this year quarter. Actually, we're not comparing apple to apple here. In 2021, we had some expenses which we don't have in 2022, and they were mostly about some exchange losses, some unwinding decommissioning expenses that are booked in financing cost, and then we had some interest on the overdraft. So that was about already above 600 million. Whereas in this year, first quarter, We have some interest expenses, but they are also partly offset by the interest income. If you look at the balance sheet, you will see that we have a lot of cash, and of course we are getting some interest on these on some of the deposits. So that explains the financing cost. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next question is from Dumebi Obiago from African Finance Corporation. She's asking, on the fire incident, is the report from the insurance company available? Also, what was the cost of the damage as a result of the fire incident? Was this covered by insurance, or has this not been fully recovered? That's her question.
Okay, yes, thank you very much from ANC. The report from the insurance is still being awaited. You know, we invited the insurance companies immediately the incident happened. Like we have mentioned in our various press releases, the impact has not been much. Only the damage from the fire was limited to the tank farm itself, which at that time were less than 20% full. So from our own estimate, the losses of the fuel range from about a billion naira current prices, even though that fuel was a very long time. We got it at much, much cheaper price, but we'll give you the current value. So the tanks and the products were fully insured, so we were able to recover all the cost through the insurance companies. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. The next question is from Adebayo Adebanjo from Coronation Asset Management. He says, congratulations on the numbers. the second quarter has begun. Are your demand expectations the same as you expected at the beginning of the year? How were you able to manage the increased cost of energy?
Yes, thank you very much, Adebayo. Most of us are really fully aware that there was an increased cost of energy, especially with two things happening. One, the deregulation of the AGO prices, and secondly, also the devaluation of Naira, because some of our energy costs are dollar denominated, especially for the energy. And what we try to do is to absorb most of these production costs in order to make the cement affordable to all Nigerians. But also we have been hit hard by increase in diesel prices, and we resisted quite a long time in trying to increase our price and pass this on to the consumers. But as you are aware also, diesel at some point last year was selling at about 200 Naira a liter. Now it's in the range of like 700 Naira a liter, so that's almost like a 300% increase. So and just quite recently we have had no option but to adjust our distribution costs without affecting our net cement price, just to reflect this. And that adjustment was made only on our company delivered cement, in which we use our own trucks, so that the people have to pay realistic prices for the cost of haulage to the various destinations. But we have not adjusted the cement prices, so to say, and also the prices. So, and like I said, we have borne the most of the brunt, the foreign exchange devaluation of the Naira, since the cost of energy is dollar denominated, and because of the devaluation, we are not paying much higher gas prices. But like I said, we have tried to absorb most of it. Thank you.
Thank you, MD. Our next question is from Jeanette Ogukoya from Telemark Capital. She has two questions. The first one is, could you shed some light on exports? Would you say some of the volume growth was due to resumed exports, especially from the new Sokoto line? Her second question is, also, what is your export volume if you have resumed?
Well, we recognize that cement export can be very helpful for expanding our footprint, increasing brand awareness, and generating foreign currency earnings. However, considering the current level of demand in Nigeria, our focus has been the Nigerian market. Our export volume was less than 1% of the total production in 2001, and I think also just a bit slightly higher during 2021. But I can say that as we increase our capacity, will be better positioned to increase existing export volumes, and in the process, the advantage of some of the benefits from the full implementation of the African Continental Free Trade Agreement, given the limited number of integrated cement plants in Africa, also due to their limited limestone deposits. So this is something we will pursue as long as we're able to satisfy the Nigerian market. And with the increased volumes from Sokoto, I believe we'll see an increase in export volumes compared to previous years. Thank you.
Thank you, MD. Our next question is a follow-up from Olufemilayo Ogbono. She wants to know what our volumes were in 2022, Q1 2022. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, apologies. We seem to have lost Mr. Yusuf Inji. He will be rejoining us shortly. Please remain online. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been rejoined by Mr. Yusuf Inji. Please go ahead, sir.
Okay, thank you. Sorry for that. I think my network went off. Ladipo was reading out the last question from Ms. Ogunkola from Telecapital.
The last question was from Olufemilai Ogubona. She wants to know what our sales volumes were in 2022. That's Q1. Thank you.
Yes, okay. Thank you very much. Our combined sales volume for plants in Ogun and Sokoto was 1,734,901 tons. When you compare this for the same period last year, we did 1,374,494 tons. So almost an increase of almost 400,000 tons. Thank you.
Thank you, MD. Judy, please could you check if we have any questions on the audio line, and then we could come back to some questions on the webcast, please. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. The first question comes from Oyori Dawudu of Standard Bank Group. Please go ahead, sir.
Apologies for the bad network connection. I got some of the response on volumes, but I just want to just double check. Were there any disruptions to production in the first quarter? It seems as though a lot of your peers were affected by gas shortages. And I'm guessing from the volume numbers, that wasn't the case. Could you help to explain how you mitigated that production downtime? And then also on prices, I think I remember from the last conference call at the end of for full year 21 numbers, you said you had made some price adjustments. Could you provide an update on that? I think it was a downward adjustment to prices. Has that remained? Because from what I understand, it doesn't seem as though all the competitors followed on that move. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. I will try to answer your questions. And Jack will help me on the second one, on the prices adjustments. But during the first quarter of 2022, we did not witness any disruption of operations due to energy supply. As you are very much aware, we have a process that we deliberately designed to be multi-fuel with a lot of backup. So we are able to switch from one type of fuel to the other. And this is both for the pyro processing, that is our main cement production line, where we have burners that are multi-fuel. They can run on solid, liquid, or gas. The solid being coal, the liquid being LPFO, and the gas being liquefied natural gas or LNG. So we are, of course, yeah, sometimes we have some supply interruptions due to logistics mainly, but they were able to switch over to a second type of fuel, even though with a different cost matrix. But we didn't have any lack of fuel. Yes, during the last conference, we mentioned that we did a downward adjustment of prices by 850 per bag. Now, that's basically remained on our ex-factory price. But like I also mentioned earlier, we did an upward adjustment on the company delivery basis to account for the increase in the price of diesel. You might notice some slight changes in prices because also we sort of remove all the discounts that we have to the dealers, especially during the peak season, but these discounts, you know, they are seasonal depending on the market. Mr. Jack, maybe you can also shed more light on the price adjustments, or Mr. Finn?
No, on this price adjustment is exactly what you just explained. There is nothing to add to this.
Mr. Finn, you have the market and yeah. Prices also generally?
Yeah, Mr. Yusuf, thank you so much. You know, what is a bit Oh, yeah. Yes. Here I'm back again now. Yeah, as I said, the balance between the supply and demand is always deciding the prices in the market here. And of course, we are, as Mr. Yusuf was saying, we took away the discount, to the clients to have a more pure price build up. But it really doesn't change much generally in the market situation, because we have also seen that it has been quite a volatile, let's say, growth in various areas in the country, due to all these challenges, as was mentioned earlier, about the fuel situation, et cetera, but for the prices, what we expect of prices for the future now, again, we say that the level we are on now, we don't see any much changes as long as we will be able to keep the supply pattern as it is today. But, the market is pretty big. It's a lot of demands coming up. The agriculture business is developing pretty fast. So the remote areas is starting to consume more cement. So it will be a kind of a continuous pressure for all the players. So again, it depends upon the availability from the three operators. But from our side, we are very much prepared, as the MD earlier mentioned, in order to meet the coming demand. But we don't see any major changes really on the prices ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Khalil Wally of Cardinal Stone Partners.
Thank you very much for holding the call. I wanted to ask questions about the disruption of gas supply in terms of production. I think you've mostly addressed that. But can I just get an idea of the fuel mix as of Q1?
Okay, yes, thank you very much. Like we have mentioned, we operate two plants, and in our plant in Edo State in Obu, basically we are using pipeline gas, natural gas that's been supplied by PMC, and this goes on to our turbines to generate electricity and also to power our pyro process line, the kiln. And this has so far been mostly reliable. The backup fuel we have there is LPFO for the kiln and also diesel for the power plant. So you find gas channels for it, and you have to take it as it's been pumped up to you. Whenever there are instances of vandalization, our machine automatically switch over to the backup fuel, which is for the kill for the AGO for the power plant. Isokoto is a bit of a different kind of scenario, because you don't have gas pipelines running all the way to most parts of the north. And so that is why we are using LNG. LNG is liquefied natural gas, which is being trucked all the way from Port Harcourt and then sent to Sokoto, a distance of over 1,000 kilometers. And obviously, we have some buffer storage for the liquid natural gas. And this buffer can take us for quite a number of days in case of any disruption in supply. So we have a tank farm, and this gas, we use it by passing it through some evaporators and then sending it to the power plant and to the kiln. The other fuel we have is coal, which is used for the kiln. It accounts for about 70% of the kiln fuel that we get from places as far as Kogi State, and for which we also have a strategic reserve on site. And then we also have diesel and LPFO as backup to the power plant and also the kiln. So we are using, I will say, a recipe of solid fluid and gas, all types of fuel. And like I said, the process has been deliberately designed so that it is multi-fuel. We understand the challenges fuel supply in Nigeria. You don't want to wake up one day, you know, sometimes you wake up and then you see fuel queues, this and that. We don't want that to happen to our production because I've got a commitment to our customers. So we are keen on providing a good service delivery. So that is why we have invested so much in alternatives. In case one fails, we can easily switch over to the other. So at any point in time, we ensure our mines are rolling and the smoke goes out. People may not be aware of the challenges that do come with this fuel supply, but we have made the process to be very flexible, and we have backup upon backup, and we are able to switch over and then meet the customer demands at any point in time. So the fuel is solid, liquid, and gaseous. Thank you.
Going on to the next question, which comes from Gabolahan Ologuru of Cardros Securities.
Good afternoon. Please confirm you can hear me.
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, congratulations on your impressive results. So my question is on the source of volume expansion. So I think in previous conference call, you've alluded to the fact that volume has been driven more by private sector demand. So I want to gain clarity whether that trend, I mean, is still the same thing that played out in Q1. And have you noticed any improvement from public sector demand? Then my second question would be on pricing. So you mentioned you're unlikely to hike prices from current levels. So I'm trying to see how you'd, I mean, manage the elevated price of diesel, I mean, gas, I mean, in ensuring that we don't see the impact on margins. So how do you intend to manage, I mean, those cost pressures to ensure that you have a soft landing on your margins?
Yes, thank you very much for congratulating us on an excellent performance. Now, when it comes to the volume expansion, you know, there was an unprecedented demand for cement in 2021, and has remained very strong now. And what we can say is that demand has remained local, and precisely not from any particular geographical region. We have experienced very strong demand in all the market regions where we have a presence. The demand has been private sector driven, and it accounts for between 75 to 80% of the total industry output compared to the public sector. Nevertheless, there are so many government projects that are ongoing and planned. But like I've always mentioned, it is not worthy for people to be able to know that sales are not a true reflection of the demand. Because we believe that if we had produced more cement than was reported, the additional stock would have been sold. So we expect the strong demand to continue because the current per capita consumption in Nigeria is around 126 kilograms. And this is still low compared to our neighboring countries. For example, Ghana, Senegal, Ivory Coast, that have a per capita consumption of between 230 kilograms to 250 kilograms. Therefore, consumption in Nigeria should continue to improve, and the industry must continue to increase output to meet this extra demand. Now, on your second question regarding the diesel and gas, and I've mentioned it earlier, because our mission is to make cement affordable to all Nigerians. Yes, the gas we buy is denominated, the contract is denominated in dollars. So, obviously, there has been an increase because of the devaluation of the Naira, roughly by about 33%. But like I said, we have resisted in passing this cost on to the consumers. But to be fair, the increases we have had in the price of diesel, which has been very, very astronomical, almost like 300% within a couple of months, has made us to make some adjustments on our haulage rates. So we still maintain the same ex-factory price. If you want us to deliver to you, we have to give you haulage rates that are truly reflective of what third-party trucks will charge. So in that sense, there is an increase there. We try to do all of this also to maintain our margins so that these margins are not really eroded, because in the end also we have to create value for the shareholders. So it is balancing shareholder interest also with national demand. Thank you.
Volani, does that conclude your questions?
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you. At this stage, I will hand over back for questions from the webcast.
Thank you, Judith. Yes, we do have some questions on the webcast. Some are follow-up questions. So we have a follow-up question from Adebayo Adebanjo from Coronation Asset Management. He says, thanks for the response. I apologize, but the first question was unanswered as regards demand expectations for this quarter. Thank you.
Well, I do not really, I don't know if some of my colleagues do understand the question, because you were asking about demand expectation for the first quarter, because we are discussing the first quarter. And like I've always said, the figures the cement industry are putting forward are not a true reflection of the demand in Nigeria for cement, because everybody has been able to sell 100% of what he produced. So, for example, if we sold totally among the three producers 8 million tons, that does not mean that the demand, because probably the demand would have been 10 million tons or 11 million tons, but there was no cement to satisfy that market. So until we get to that point where we say that we are able to satisfy the demand, we cannot really talk of the demand being equivalent to consumption. So I don't know, Mr. Finn, maybe you understood these questions, Adebanjo's question, better than I.
Yeah, Mr. Yusuf, he was indicating, you know, what could be the real demand here, but I think you answered very well here. And of course, as you rightly say, cement is a very peculiar product because it's pretty elastic. So that means if you have in a country like Nigeria with that vast area and many different markets, if you make a product available, it will go, it will move, you know, because it's extremely elastic. When you are not able to supply into certain areas, it will automatically stop. And that is what is actually characteristic by the private consumers. When the cement is available, they will build. If it's not available, they will slow down a little bit. So if you are able to drive up your production, that means for all the operators, you will naturally drive your volumes. That we have seen during all the years, the last 10, 15 years in Nigeria, when you have good times, the production is going very well, no delimitation, the market is going. We have seen increases of 20% if you go back to 17, 18. So, and this was because of the supply pattern was really well developed. So with more capacities coming in, this will go. And as Yusuf, the MD, was explaining earlier, the very good thing for us with our aggressive expansion up in the north is that we have the export opportunities. And Niger and also Burkina Faso is not too far away. These are markets who is mainly driven by import, you know, clinker import from the global arena. So if we are able to push volumes into there, that could be also nice add-on for the business. So from the market point of view and supply point of view, it's very much linked together. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Finn. The next question is from Dumebi Obiago from African Finance Corporation. She's asking, what is the capacity utilization? She actually has three questions. What is the capacity utilization of the newly commissioned Sokoto line? Her second question is, what percentage of your delivery is ex-factory versus delivered? And then I think her last question is, what percentage does this volume, that's the line, the newly commissioned, what are the volumes sold from the newly commissioned line? What percentage does this volume contribute to the total? Thank you.
Thank you very much. A bit difficult to talk of capacity utilization once we have not reached the end of the year. So probably that a question will be in a better position to answer. This line started commercial production sometime within Q1. But what I can say is that we were very successful with ramping up, and we believe we are able to achieve its full potential within the very short term. But to give a figure on capacity utilization, I think that will be after the year ends. It has a capacity of 3 million metric tons per annum. So we do expect that this line is going to contribute its quota similar to other lines. You know, we have other lines of similar capacity in Edo, two of them, and then we have one of half that capacity in Sokoto. So we believe by the end of the year, we'll be able to say this is the contribution of this new production line. But like I've mentioned, there has absolutely been hiccups in ramping up the capacity, and it has passed the what we call the performance guarantee tests. That means it has been able to achieve what it was designed for. So, and in terms of reliability also, the run factor has been very high. But we talk of these figures in concrete terms after the year has ended. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I guess that's all from the webcast. Judith, do you have any questions lined up?
No, sir. There are no further questions on the lines. I would now hand over back to Mr. Yusuf Benji for closing comments. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for spending a part of your day with us as we presented our Q1 2022 results. So have a very nice day or a very nice evening, and look forward to you joining us when we present our half-year report sometime in July. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes today's event. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.